Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Is it your Jireh? Are you sure it's more than enough? I said, are you sure it's more than enough? Are you really sure it's your Jireh? Now let's celebrate Him as we put our hands together. Hallelujah. It's our season of more money. And I just want us to just do something. Hold hands with somebody who is next to you. And I want us to agree together this morning. Father, you are my Jireh. The word Jireh means the Lord is your provider and the provision shall be seen. We want to say, Lord, this is my season of more money. Provide for me. Provide for the person I'm holding. Let the provision be seen. Let this be a season of overflow in my finances. Let there be a season of breakthrough on every side. My God, you are my Jireh. Provide for me and let the provision be seen. I'd like us to pray in 30 seconds before you sit down this morning. Megedeli boko sibedele makatoya. Impalande zubre de moko se petelia. Eshape ligu zebedele mayakotaya barate kosaya. We give you praise, our King. We thank you, our Father. We celebrate you and we give you all the glory because we know you will come true for us. The God who feeds the birds in the air, who beautifies the lilies in the field, the God who takes care of birds that have no bank accounts. The Bible says, how much more will your heavenly Father provide for you? You are too much to be stranded. We thank you, our Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we worship. I can't hear your amen. Shout a better amen. Is it okay now if we celebrate our Jireh? Please go ahead and celebrate your provider. Hallelujah. Amen. On your way to your seat, look for 5 people and say to them, is your Jireh and it will provide for you. He will provide for you. He will provide for you. Hallelujah. Again, this morning, we want to give Him glory, who has kept us and who has continued to provide for us through difficult times and through good times. We are grateful to Him. Again, we are live on Afia TV this morning on DSTV. And we want to appreciate, let's celebrate the authorities of Afia TV once again this morning. Thank you. And we'll continue to pray for you as a church family. As a church family, please join hands together. I want to do something we haven't done before. Father, we stand in faith. We pray for Afia TV. This is a vision that affects all of us that you have called in the eastern part of this country. It is on behalf of the East, it is the greatest voice we have to the rest of the world. I pray that you will bless that endeavor. I pray you will bless the CEO and his entire family. We pray that you will bless the entire staff strength and their entire families. We pray that this vision will grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory. We pray that from the East, it will have an office in every state in Nigeria, and it will begin to go from one continent to another continent. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every expression of this endeavor, let the blessings of God come upon it for growth, for increase, and for impact. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless them, O God, in the things money can buy and the things that money cannot buy. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. House on the Rock, can we put our hands together once again and celebrate them? Hallelujah. So, I'd like to say welcome to church, and please thank you for making it physically, and all of you worshiping online from all over the world. We love you so much and we are excited and we are grateful. There's an announcement on the screen. Please watch it. If it's your car, do get it out of the way. One day I was doing MC in a wedding one day. And while the wedding was going on, they gave me a piece of paper to announce for somebody to repark. So I made the announcement. I called the car number and everything. And I dropped it. And something said, that number looks familiar. And I'll call somebody to go and check my car number. And they, because I don't know my car number. And they went and checked the number. They said, Pastor, you just announced for yourself to go and repark. It was the most stupid thing I ever done in my life. I felt so stupid, you know. Praise God. I said, praise God. All right. Very quickly this morning, our fasting and prayer already started. We're 1 week old now on it. In the course of the week, we had issues with the internet. So for almost 3 days, we struggled to pray. Please, we don't know how long the internet problem will persist. But what I want to say is, if for any reason by tomorrow, for example, we struggle again with the internet, I hear it's a West African problem. It's not just a Nigeria. And the good thing about the problem is that it's West Africa. Because if it was Nigeria, so we are grateful to God. It's beyond us. And we trust God that God will intervene and it will be resolved quickly in Jesus' name. You see, this is why we are preaching about more money. If you have money now, you go and buy Elon Musk Starlink. If you have money now, you buy Starlink. You have no business with MTN and the rest of them. Tell your neighbor, say, God will give you money. Oh. By fire, by fire. No, no, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God will give you money. Oh. By fire, by fire. Say, neighbor, you too much for MTN, for Airtel, for Glo. You deserve Elon Musk, Starlink. Now fit you. Say amen. Amen. All right, very quickly. So all the prayers will continue, except we have internet problems. The only time we're meeting physically is on Saturday and on Wednesday here, apart from our Sunday services. The Skill Up Empowerment Program commences next week. But already, we are getting ready to, we're preparing everything we need, training materials, we're buying diesel. Diesel, the cost of diesel has gone to the rooftop. And we are doing everything we can to make sure we get ready for it. If you already registered, thank you. If you have not registered, you have to wait for the next batch because we already have over 500 and something people we are training on all kinds of skill. I think we ought to celebrate the committee and the volunteers. The volunteers. These guys, you know, what they have done, what they have put together is a document that can start an university. Believe me, I've gone through it over and over. The document they put together can conveniently start a university and run it successfully. There's nothing they haven't covered. It's the most intelligent piece of work I've ever seen. Please, let's put our hands together once again and celebrate the committee working with us. And for all the volunteers, we love you so much and we are grateful. That program is going to cost us a lot. It's free for the participants, but for us, it's not free. It's going to cost us so much, not just in terms of power, in terms of our facilitators. We have to feed them. We have to take care of transportation for some, and so on and so forth. And the gracious thing is that some of the volunteers, for example, like the tailors, are even taking some of our students to their place to train them, some of them for 1 year, train them free of charge, and release them as full tailors who can run their own business. You know, that's how gracious, you know, the people of this church is. I mean, the generosity I've seen in my heart is amazing. We have someone there who is a cyber crime expert who's going to be training on cyber security. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And there's a whole lot of training going on, you know, and so on and so forth. And this afternoon, by the way, immediately after this service, we're going to be having a business session, which is our life class. And it's going to be, the topic for it will be, help me now. Sorry. The topic is, sorry, it's supposed to be somewhere here. It's on the screen. The leverage of tech skills. Okay? Now, this is happening immediately after this service, and it's for life class. It's going to be an 1 hour, 30 minutes event. And we want to take advantage of every single day of the week. Wednesday next week, again, this week we're entering. We're not going to be preaching normal Wednesday midweek service. We're going to be having another practical session on business. The idea is that we are trying to marry everything together. On one hand, we're going to start training. On the other hand, we are also teaching you soft skills and opening your eyes to possibilities and opportunities. On the other hand, we are also distributing food. for people to eat. And by the way, I really want to thank one of our daughters in the house. I don't want to call name for security reasons, whose personal foundation giving us a lot of the food stuff we're going to be sharing today. You know, I don't want to call them, but let's just put our hands together and just celebrate her. For security reasons, I won't call name, but this is the kind of love and commitment I see in this church, the kind of largeness of heart that I see in this house. And I really want to celebrate every one of you. From the time I said, we are feeding, she just said, Pastor, I'm with you. And food has been delivered and so on. And we're going to be distributing today in partnership with them and so on. And it's such an amazing thing. I'm saying all this to say, Pastor Bidemi was announcing that evangelism is twice in a month. He didn't get it right. Food sharing in church is twice in a month. Evangelism is almost three times in a week. In fact, by the way, I had a team of people, of footballers, I was to minister to this week. Because we didn't have money, I couldn't go for it. I'm not kidding you. Because we didn't have money, I didn't go for it. I went there, but the money to buy the food stuff wasn't there. And the guy was upset. I mean, one of our members, yeah, is the one that arranged it. He was very upset. Ah, where's the other thing? Where are the things you promised? And we had to apologize and say next week. So this is the point I'm making. Evangelism costs us a lot. This is not food distribution. The evangelism goes with its own food. It's different. The one we're talking about for food distribution is the one in church twice in a month. Otherwise, on a weekly basis, at least three times in a week, souls are being reached out to. We're doing evangelism, we're ministering to people, and we're feeding them. So the project is enormous. By next week, I'm going to resurrect our partnership scheme by next week, because the only sustainable way to run this project, I hate to talk about money in church, but the only way sustainable way is to say, okay, everybody here is a partner. Even if it's a 1,000 naira partnership you have every month, that 1,000 naira, we put it together. We can work with the budget and say, this is what we can have in store, and this is what we can do. Amen. So next week, we're going to talk more about the partnership scheme. But today, please, if there's any way you want to partner to reach out, save souls, feed the poor, and so on, please do so immediately. Can I hear amen? All right. So, gentlemen, at the third service, at the end of the third service, the food will be shared for about 150-something people will receive their food. Amen. All right. Today is Pastor Bidemi's birthday. And at the end of the service, we're going to be praying for him. It's been a phenomenal blessing in this house, hasn't it, B? Right. So we're going to be blessing him and praying for him. But in the meantime, just shout, Pastor Bidemi, happy birthday. Amen. Thank you so much. So we'll do that just before the service closes. Now we realize that we have a lot of executives who sit on the gallery upstairs. We don't have time to stay in the presence of God to the end of service. So I want to plead with all the executives upstairs who will never have time to stay until the end of the service. We do not want to fight with you or quarrel with you. It's church you came to. So please, if for any reason you're going to leave before the end of service, again, you are right now excused to please leave that place, go to the overflow, where you will leave at the time you want to leave and nobody will disturb you. But if you are going to sit down there and you want to enjoy the service, you will sit down there until we share the grace. Is that okay? Please, I beg you, don't beat up my ushers or my protocol people. I beg you, don't do that. I'm giving you this heads up so that if your busy schedule will not allow you to stay till the end of church, please leave now, because we'll close that door and you will not have the opportunity of going until the end of service. We don't like people interrupting our service. It's not our culture in this church for people to walk out before the end of the service. It's not our culture. You are bringing a strange culture to our church, and we will fight it with everything we have. So in the meantime, if you don't like, please go now. Otherwise, hold your peace till the end of the service. Amen? Is that how they say during wedding? All right. Hallelujah. This morning, we're going straight into the Word of God. First service, I didn't have my slides because of the internet, but thank God this service, I have slides now. Amen. I said amen. All right, so we're just going to run. Everybody say more money. I can't hear you say more money. All right, jump on your feet. Let's take our reading. 3 John 2. Let's take our reading quickly so we can quickly run and run through before the end of the time that we have. 3 John verse 2. 3 John 2. Everybody say more money. For the last time, say more money. All right. Everybody now, 2 go. Beloved, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I pray that the Lord will bless you physically. Say amen. It will bless your soul. Say amen. It will also bless your finances. I pray that you will prosper in your soul, prosper in your body, you walk in divine health, and you also prosper financially. I pray that you prosper in every single area of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Say aloud, amen. Please sit down like the king that you are. Gentlemen, last Sunday, we made it clear that money is so important that when you have money, you have options. And life without options is a terrible life to live. Money is so important that money literally competes with oxygen in terms of importance or relevance. Because just as you need air to breathe to be alive, you need money in order for you to live a good life. God's desire is not that you just manage through life. God wants you to live the best, the very best of life. That's why he says, I wish above everything. There are many wishes I have for you. Number one, I want you to prosper. Number two, I don't just want you to be rich and sick in the hospital. I want you to be in health. And number three, I want even your soul also to prosper. Amen. Last Sunday, I told you that's where we got the saying from, healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's the three components of being healthy, being wealthy, and also being wise. Ladies and gentlemen, three things people don't like to talk about in church, and yet everybody sitting in this place is praying for it, is begging for it, is asking for it. I don't care how much you love God, you love these three things. Number one, many people don't like us to talk about money. When we talk about money like this in a month like this, they've come again, prosperity preachers. And the question is, well, if you say we shouldn't be prosperity preachers, would you prefer us to be poverty preachers? Should we tell you how to be poor? Is that what you prefer? All right, so since you're also a prosperity receiver, we're all on the same page. Am I right? You want to be a poverty receiver? All right, if it's poverty you want to receive, then you're in the wrong church. Because in House on the Rock, we believe in the prosperity of our lives, our finances, our businesses. Say amen. Come on, say better amen. All right. Now, second thing many people don't like us to talk about is sex. Everybody say sex. All right. Even to say it is a difficult thing for a lot of people in church. But truth be told, everybody watching me right here is thinking about it at one time or the other. All right? And when you mention that matter in church, everybody keeps a straight face. I remember the first time we did one program in our church many years ago called Sex Talk. Who remember Sex Talk? It was serious. So at least five bishops called me. I said, Pastor, we just saw your billboard. He said, we know you need some counseling. I said, counseling about what? He said, about sex. I said, hey. He said, about your sex talk and all that. I said to them, I said, if you don't talk about it, Facebook is talking about it. Instagram is talking about it. I said, so if you have any wisdom, you better talk about it so you can give the right narrative to your people and they can have the right perspective to it and they can know how to manage it. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about sex. We've talked about it before. We'll still talk about it. The other thing church people say we shouldn't talk about is fame. Everybody say fame. Pastor, I like to be a quiet person. I don't want anybody to recognize me. Wait until you are calling people to the high table and you don't call their name. You know how much they don't like to be recognized. Wait until you are serving rice during the reception and you pass them. First time they will forgive you. Second time they will have forgive you. By the third time they will look at you and say, go punish you. When people are raising their hand, take other people and ignore them. And you will know whether they like fame or not. Everybody likes fame. Everybody likes to be applauded. Everybody likes some level of honor. And guess what? It's not a bad thing. It's the God thing in us. We're all made in the God class. And because we're all made in the God class, something in us likes celebration. Something in us likes to be likes ovation. Something in us likes to be recognized. That's what makes God God. Is anybody hearing me? God never designed for you to be lost in the crowd. He designed for you to stand out of the crowd every time you are in the crowd. And that is exactly what is going to happen to your life in the name of Jesus. I can't hear your amen, somebody. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, money matters because money is exchange for your life. Money is exchange for your life. How many of you are aware that every time you go to that office, 8 o'clock in the morning, and close at about 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the evening, you've given them roughly about 8 hours of your life. And what they give you at the end of the month is actually not just salary, it is money given for your life. They collected 8 hours of your time Monday to Friday. Okay, Monday sit at home in Enugu. So, it's work now. Okay, fine, fantastic. That's for some people, not for everybody. Because I know many of you like the sit at home. If truth were to be told, you like it. Peter Amba has been begging you to go back to work. You refuse to go back to work. God will forgive you in Jesus' name. All right, so what they give you at the end of the month is actually exchange for your life. Because your entire life is calibrated in time. Time is the one thing that you will never, ever, ever, ever be able to spend. It's the one thing that when you spend it, you can never recover it back again. And that is the reason why money is important, because it's actually the exchange for your life. The second thing about money, ladies and gentlemen, is that money is is in competition with God for your soul. That's why the Bible says you can never love God and the devil. The two people competing for your soul are God, number one, and you would have thought the second person is Satan. No. The other thing is money. Because money occupies such an important place in your life, is competing for your soul. This is the reason why a lot of people, in attempt to make money, must have to damn their soul. They must have to do something evil, something terrible that damns their soul. Why? Because money is in competition with your soul. That's why Jesus was speaking somewhere else and says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and does what? Because your soul, the competition for your soul is in what you get, apart from the competition of God. That's why we have a responsibility to teach you how to make money the right way, the legitimate scriptural way, so you can have money and also have peace with it. Did I hear an amen, somebody? The third thing about money, ladies and gentlemen, is that money is your power for options. Somebody say options. I can't hear you say options. Money is your power for options. Last Sunday I said that if today your child is not given admission, you have options. You have a private university to go to. You have outside the country to go to. And can I say something else to you? A lot of the politicians destroying this country are doing so because they have options. A lot of them, apart from their Nigerian passport, they also have Bahamas passport. Their family has the passport for King Solomon Island somewhere. So if anything happens, they carry their load and go. They don't care what happens to the country. But by the grace of God, that generation of politicians will be extinct very soon in this country in the name of Jesus. But guess what? Money gives you options. Your child is sick, you have an option to take them to a good hospital. You want your child to attend a good school. If the school where they are is rubbish, carry them. It just gives you options. That's why the Bible says money answers all. How many things? I can't tell you how many things. It's because money gives you options. The other thing about money is that money is a stronghold of destiny. The Bible says a rich man's wealth is a strong defense. A rich man's wealth is a strong defense. Money is a stronghold of destiny. It's a stronghold of destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, bottom line is that money is important. Please never underemphasize the importance of money in your life. This money, ladies and gentlemen, want to acknowledge the fact that you can get money through many channels. And that's how God designed it for you, to get money through the exchange of goods and services, to get money through creativity, like the singer, the athlete, the footballer, all the people in the entertainment industry. It's through creativity. God also intended for you to get money through gifts, benevolence, charity, and so on and so forth. Inheritance. Somebody died and left all the money for you. Your parents died and did all that for you. Fantastic. I mean, Wigwe's children can never suffer. They don't have to work to eat. Am I right, somebody? So that's another way of getting money. But guess what? Everything I've mentioned to you are channels to getting money. For the believer, there's one fountain, there's one spring, there's one source from which all money comes. And ladies and gentlemen, that fountain is called the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. I cannot hear you say the blessing. For the last time, say the blessing. My God, say for the last time, the blessing. All right, Deuteronomy 28 verse 12 puts it in perspective. It says, the Lord shall open thee. The Lord shall open unto this good treasure, the heavens to give rain unto your land in the season. And now it says, and to bless all the works of thine hands. Everybody say the blessing. I can hear you say the blessing. The beautiful thing about the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says, it maketh rich and it does not add any sorrow with it. Now, speaking about the fountain or the spring or the source of the believer's money, I had mentioned the blessing. However, please notice, the blessing is only one item out of three forces what I call the greatest forces of destiny in life. The three greatest forces of destiny in life are number one, the blessing, number two, the covenant, and number three, purpose. Everybody say purpose. I can't hear you say purpose. Now, I'm going to be speaking about the blessing, so let me leave it last. Let me talk to you about the covenant. Everybody say covenant. For the last time, say covenant. 1 Samuel 25 told us the story of a gentleman by the name of Nabal. Who remembers Nabal? That guy whose name means fool. Now, how many of you realize that the guy is a fool, but was very wealthy? Anybody remembers that? The guy was so wealthy, David needed to beg food from him to eat. The guy was extremely wealthy. Extremely wealthy. So, how can a fool also be wealthy? If you took time to read about Nabal, one thing you will say about the life of the guy. In fact, let me, Nabal's case was even really bad. The introduction of Nabal says, the man Nabal lives in Mahon. Okay? But he does his business. Oh my God, I've forgotten all the details now. But bottom line was that Nabal is from the tribe of Caleb. Everybody say Caleb. Who is Caleb? Caleb was that gentleman in the days when Israel was about to enter the promised land that the Bible says was a man of another spirit. That guy was, his walk with God was so intimate, God partnered and entered a covenant with him and said, you know what, because you didn't complain like others, you didn't see giants like others, I'm entering a covenant of blessing with you. So guess what? Many years later, this gentleman shows up from the lineage of Caleb. And because of covenant, that guy was blessed. He was a fool, and yet he was wealthy. The secret of his wealth was not his hard work. It was covenant. Everybody say covenant. I cannot hear you say covenant. I don't know who you are. There are a lot of people here. Your fathers have labored for God. Your parents have done things that people have not rewarded them for. Some of your parents either built churches, served the priest, served the reverend father. Some of them were the ones that were providing food for the pastor's house and doing all kinds of things, and most of them died unrewarded. Can I prophesy over you? By the covenant of your parents, I declare you will never be stranded in life in the name of Jesus. Like God, I said you will never be stranded in life in the name of Jesus. There are some of you whose parents have done dangerous things that nobody knows about. Some of them still alive, some of them died. But guess what? The thing about covenant is that long after you have forgotten about it, guess what? It still pursues the children and the children's children. That was why David woke up one day and said, is there anyone left of the house of Saul? I want to show him kindness. What was disturbing David? Covenant. Covenant. He had entered a covenant with Jonathan that says, I must bless you and bless your children. Jonathan was dead and gone. Saul was dead and gone. David woke up and said, no, I cannot sleep until I bless somebody. Can I declare there's a governor, president, there's a governor right now who many, many years ago, your father was the one that fed him as a poor man. Your father was the one that helped him with school fee. There's somebody, some big man somewhere that your father did something to, and long after everybody has forgotten about, I prophesy over you, many of them will lose their rest. They will lose their sleep until they return back to bless you in the name of Jesus. Can you shout a living amen? Amen. The other thing that I said that brings about the blessing is called purpose. Everybody say purpose. The interesting thing about purpose, ladies and gentlemen, is that whether the man knows how to pray or not, if he discovers purpose in time and begins to pursue it, that guy will be prosperous. Michael Jackson was not a man of prayer, but at the age of 5, he discovered he was a pop star. He followed purpose. He pursued purpose. At the age of 5, Lionel Messi was already playing football at a professional's level. Guess what? That pursuit of purpose made them rich, made them prosperous, and made them successful. I prophesy over somebody who is still confused after graduation, not knowing where your life is going to. May purpose contact and collide with you in the name of Jesus. May you not only discover, may you pursue until you walk in the fullness of your purpose in the name of Jesus. Your amen this morning is suffering from. Let's talk about the blessing very quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, throughout scripture, the blessing is a testimony of all our fathers, what we call the patriarchs. So the Bible recorded concerning Abraham in Genesis 24 verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, but the Lord had blessed him in all things. At old age, he looked back at his life. At that point where many people have regrets, many people wish they can have time back, many people have pain, they are going through pain over the wrong choices they made. The Bible says Abraham was old and stricken in years. Looking back at his life, marriage, business, ministry, finances, the Lord had blessed him in all things. Can I prophesy to somebody that will be your testimony at old age? Since you don't like it, let the five people who said amen, let them receive it in the name of Jesus. I said, by the time you come to old age, you will look back at your life. No regrets, no pain, nothing to worry about, no mistakes made. I prophesy every single thing around your life will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Shout a living amen, somebody. Jacob was prophesying to his son, Joseph. And he said, the blessings of my father, Genesis chapter 49, verse 25 or 26. He said, the blessings of my father have prevailed. Can I declare over you, may the blessing of God over your life prevail over every enemy, over every opposition, over every resistance, over every embargo, over every limitation. Amen. Shout a living amen, somebody. Amen. And speaking about the blessing, there's something I did in the first service I want to do in this service. The Lord laid it in my heart very strongly, and one of my pastors confirmed it to me and said, Pastor, if you don't do this in this service, it will be very wrong. I, in the first service, I spoke about the power of the curse and how that a lot of people may be coming into church, but they are living and walking in curses. And the best way I can just relate that to you is Reuben. Everybody say Reuben. I have a very short time, but let me just do this and get out of your way. Somebody say Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn of Israel, and Genesis 49, the Bible says Jacob had called his children together to bless them. And as they gathered together, Israel was about to prophesy to the firstborn to whom belongs the double portion. And then he looked at him and said, Reuben, you're my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of knowledge, of power. And then he says, but you will not excel. Why? He says, because you climbed my bed and you slept with my wife. Now, what Reuben did not know was that day he went and slept with his father's wife. Now, if you read that story in its original state, the Bible says when Reuben slept with the father's wife, Israel had it. Not Jacob had it, Israel. Now, Israel is the prophet, Jacob is the man. Israel had it, which made the job of Reuben very easy. What do you mean, Pastor? You see, if you stole something and now you are feeling bad, you know your biggest problem is how to break the news to your father. You are the one that stole the money he has been shouting about that's missing from his pocket. Who know what I'm talking about? Please answer me. Who know what I'm talking about? Your father has been shouting, somebody took my money. Somebody took my money. Everybody said, I don't know. You know. Because you took it. Your problem is his reaction that he will react after you tell him you are the one that took it. Please, am I correct? Reuben didn't have that problem. Israel already had it. That Reuben slept with his wife. So all he needed to do was blame it on the devil. Say, Daddy, it was Satan. Roll on the floor, cry a few crocodile tears. And the father will kick him and say, my friend, next time don't try it again. That will be the end of the matter. Israel had it. But Reuben was not humble enough to say, I am sorry. So guess what? In that silence, a curse came upon Reuben. And read your Bible. He said, you will never excel. Today, your day of blessing, double portion. Jesus was supposed to be the lion of the tribe of Reuben. But guess what? Because of that curse, read the rest of Reuben's history. It was so bad, gentlemen, that when Israel was to go to war in the days of Deborah the prophetess, the Bible said they were looking for the tribe of Reuben, for the divisions of Reuben. Judges chapter 5, there was great session of art. They said, where is Reuben? What is he doing with the bleating of the sheep? And Reuben went to hide in the middle of war. On the day that Joseph was to be sold as a slave or sold into Egypt, guess what? Reuben was the firstborn who should put his foot and say, nobody sells our younger brother. But because of what he did, he lost his voice in the family. Couldn't talk. It was so bad. When Moses became prophet many years later, Moses had to break that curse and say, let Reuben live. Let him not die. Let not his men be few, because this curse was going to destroy the entire Reuben. But this is the point I'm making. Reuben suffered because of a curse. And in the first service, there was something the Lord led me to do, and I want to just do it in 2 minutes. Can I say this to you, gentlemen? As we speak about more money and God's blessing upon your life, there are many, many things. There are many of us who have done things either to your parents, some authority figure over your life, and they've said things against you. Some of them have either directly placed a curse, or some of them, you just gave them a broken heart and they didn't say words to you. You promised to serve the man for 3 years. After 3 months, you carried your bag. Without resignation, you walked away. His business suffered. He didn't say what to you. You've gone to another business again to destroy. But what you have not done yet, you have left a gaping pain in the heart of that man. He may never say anything to you, but somewhere in his heart, he wishes you evil. You agreed for the man to train you in school, after which you will marry him. He has finished training you right now, Alpha. Alpha. Of course, there was no written agreement, so you have moved on. But guess what? Those things are still waiting for you. What you don't know is that they place a curse on your life. But I also want to add, if in the course of training you in school, he was sleeping with you, you have already paid. Quote Pastor Edwin, you have paid. You are discharged and you are finished paying. If he was sleeping with you while he was doing the training, listen, case is settled. So you don't owe him anything again. So I'm speaking to the one that did not sleep. Are you still in church, somebody? He has already collected salary for sleeping with you. Am I correct? He trained you, he slept with you. Nobody vexed. Am I right? The equation is balanced. Am I correct? Pastor, you defrauded somebody. And guess what? Guess what? Those of you who are still playing around with this Yahoo thing, I gave a prophecy for this year. Watch it. Watch it. Some of you think when I say things, I say them because of... No, I meant every word of what I said. But this is the point I'm making. There are people you deal with. They may never say a word. Just the tears from their eyes. I've seen pastors die. Pastors, anointed men die. For no other reason. They used opened their mouth, insulted their wives, left her in pain, and went to preach. They never returned back. I've seen it happen over and over. The point I'm making is that if consciously you know in your heart there's somebody whose heart you broke in a very bad way, there's people you have violated, taken advantage of, abused, raped, there's somebody who doesn't have the power to fight you back, but you dealt with them, you scammed them, you deceived them, you duped them. Sir, they may never open their mouths to say you are cursed, but trust me, you're walking in a curse. And there are things that will fight you, no matter how you try to rise, because the devil has legitimate grounds to bring you down. No matter how much we pour oil on your head, no matter how much we prophesy over you, it will still bring you down. This morning, I want to just digress from my message. I'm taking almost 5 minutes to deal with this right now and just say a word of prayer over you. And if you don't mind, wherever you are, you just know somewhere there's somebody whose heart you have dealt with. Somebody you have violated, scammed, deceived, cheated, dealt with. And you're going to say, Pastor, please, I know I'm living in a curse, but I want it lifted from my life. I want to pray for you very quickly. Everywhere you are, just stand on your feet. If you are too ashamed to stand, you don't need the prayer. Sit down. But guess what? If you are the one I'm speaking with, stand on your feet and just repeat this after me. Rise on your feet quickly if you are the one I'm talking about. I don't have time. If you're going to stand, stand. If you're not going to stand, sit down. But if you're going to stand, please stand quickly. Stand quickly. Stand quickly. My time is running. My time is running. My time is running. This is for somebody. This is for somebody. This is for somebody. This is for somebody. If your mother ever opened her mouth and said, this thing you did to me, let your children do it to you. You are under a curse. Oh. Okay. I will interpret that to mean we plenty. But whether it's all of us, it's still a curse. Doesn't change it. It doesn't change it. Whether we are 1 million in number, you're still under a curse. And guess what? Can I say something to you guys? The words of your parents are perhaps more powerful than any other words you can think about. So if your parents in their pain, do you know some children, the kind of pain, is because of the pain some children brought to their parents, that their parents died before their time. From that wicked boy that was always being police station, high blood pressure began. From high blood pressure, they died. So I don't care whether you're 1 million, it's still a curse nevertheless. That's why I want to pray for you this morning. This is not part of my message, but this is a digression, because we need to take off these barriers and leave this embargo so we can make progress. Our desire is that you will prosper physically, financially, and in your soul. Nothing will stand in the way in the name of Jesus. Put your two hands on your head, say, Heavenly Father. I can't hear you say, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask for mercy. I receive forgiveness for everything I have done unjustly to any man. For anybody I have violated, I have abused, I have defrauded, I have done stuff to. Father, I ask for mercy and I receive forgiveness. And this morning, I plead the blood of Jesus over my situation, over my case. I lift up my two hands, I lift up those hands and I obtain mercy. I obtain grace and I obtain forgiveness. I pray that the curse be lifted up and I walk in the liberty of the sons of God in Jesus' mighty name. Let me pray for you, my Father. I stand in my prophetic office and I declare the curse is lifted. I said the curse is lifted. I said the curse is lifted. The curse is broken. And I speak the blessings of God over your life, the same that maketh rich and added no sorrow. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Please go back and sit down if you don't mind. That was just a digression. Now let me get back to where we were before. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? Somebody say the blessing. I can't hear you say the blessing. The blessing is the only hope for a hopeless man. Pastor, what do you mean by that? When God met Abraham, before God met Abraham, and he met him at the age of 75. Gentlemen, Abraham was already what you call a total failure. Abraham did not marry at 75. He had married long before then. Bible scholars believe that Abraham got married in his own house, that Abraham tried and tried and tried and failed in life. So when everything else has failed, he couldn't pay his rent. Abraham packed his wife and returned back to his father's house. When you see a man at 75, staying in his father's house, what do you call it in your village? Come on, talk to me, somebody. He returned back to his father's house. No business, no job, no child. Is anybody hearing me? Now, God was looking for a man to do business with. And God said, if I use a successful man and a rich man, they will say, oh, the reason why he was blessed is because he was already rich. So God located this man who at 75, no child. Let me say this. Read Bible history. Abraham used to fight with his father over the sale of idols. His father's business was selling of idols. Abraham always fought with him because Abraham could not understand why this thing cannot talk, cannot hear, why you are calling it a god. So there was this quarrel. That's why he even left his father in the first place. But condition forced him back to his father's house. Guess what? God picked that man, blessed that man, and that man became the best thing that ever happened to humanity. What am I trying to say? God had to do that to show you that no matter how bad your situation is, God can still bless you. And can I declare, I don't care how far you have gone, God will still turn your story around. I said he will turn your story around. I declare God will change your story to glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Say a loud amen, somebody. Say a better amen. So if the devil look at you and say you have passed your prime, ask Satan, what is prime? What is prime? The Bible says the righteous man will still bring forth fruit even at old age. I declare you will still bring forth fruit. I say you will still bring forth fruit. Pastor, what then is the blessing? Number one, the blessing is a divine activation. It's an activation. Pastor, what do you mean by that? It stirs up another realm on the inside of you. It stirs up a supernatural realm. You begin to walk in something bigger than you. What is supernatural? Super is the hand of God that comes upon your natural. So when the blessing is upon you, you do stuff that ordinarily you cannot do. Number two, what's the blessing? It's a programming. It's a divine setup that guarantees successful outcome. It's like a DNA. It's like a software programming that you program in a computer to bring forth a desired outcome. And can I prophesy over you, by the blessing of God upon your life, whether you like it or not, you will still succeed. You will make more money. You will excel in life. This morning, may only those who are your neighbors saying the amen, may they collect the blessings. The least you can do every time the prophetic word comes is to say an amen. Now, I prophesy again. No matter the mistakes you make, I declare your success is guaranteed in the name of Jesus. The blessing is an insurance. It's a guarantee that forbids failure. An insurance says no matter what happens, we are paying for you. Can I declare over you that by virtue of the blessing of God, God has guaranteed you cannot fail. And that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. The blessing is an investment. It is God's impute into whatever you need in order for you to succeed in life. May that investment work for you in the name of Jesus. The blessing is a mobilization. Ladies and gentlemen, it is when God invites spiritual forces to come together to help you so you can succeed. I pray that God will mobilize and galvanize every spiritual force you need in order for you to be a true success story in your life and in your times in the name of Jesus. Gentlemen, in the first service, I spoke on the blessing, how it overrides the curse on the earth. This service, I'm going to be speaking on the blessing and the power of creativity. Say after me, the blessing and the power of creativity. For the last time, say the blessing and the power of creativity. Ladies and gentlemen, God's primary channel for blessing us was not strange alerts. Pastor, I just got an alert. I don't know where the money came from. Fantastic, but that's not how God blesses people. Those things can happen once in a while just to show you there's a God in heaven. But God's primary way of blessing you, ladies and gentlemen, is to make people rich by business, to give you power, to give you wealth by creating income. All right? Now, this is how the Bible describes that in a story in 2 Kings in chapter 4. It was a story of a widow whose two sons were to be taken as bondmen. She had cried to Elisha the prophet to say, "My sons are to be taken as bondmen because my servant is dead and he was owing some people." And Elisha asked her only one question. "Madam, what do you have in your house?" Now, this is how God blesses. That's why Deuteronomy, where I read to you 28, says he will bless the works of your hands. There must be works of your hands. So Elisha said, "Madam, I know you want help from me. What do you have in your house?" Because everybody has something they can do. And the woman says, "I have nothing." And Elisha said, "Think very well. Everybody has something." She said, "Well, if you insist, there's a little pot of oil." You know the rest of the story. That woman brought out that pot, got empty vessels, began to pour them, and to pour them, as long as there was a vessel to pour into, the oil flowed. As long as there's a problem you are solving, money will continue to flow. Come on, talk to me, somebody. As long as there is a service you are rendering, there's a need you are providing, there's goods you are doing, you are providing, the money will continue to flow. And that woman started an oil company. Elijah said, "You and your children, go pay your debts. But guess what? After paying your debt, continue with your children." In other words, you can continue to generate this income as long as you are pouring into empty vessels. I prophesy over somebody. Put your two hands in front of you. May God give you more products, give you more ideas, give you more goods, give you more ideas. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, truth be said, God's desire is that everybody is producing something. Is producing something. So quickly, for time's sake, I have 1 minute or so to go. How does the blessing release the power of creativity in your life? Pastor, how does it release the power of creativity in my life? Number one, the blessing helps you to see possibilities through faith. Somebody say after me, possibilities through faith. Say possibilities through faith. Ladies and gentlemen, if as long as you can keep looking up, you will continue to go up. As long as you can see possibilities in front of you, guess what? You'll be breaking grounds, breaking records, and moving forward in life as long as you can look up. How many of you are aware on your street, there's a woman who is selling banana and granite. She has 3 graduates. She trained with banana and granite. How many of you know that? And her husband is dead. Oh my God. There's a woman on your street selling okba. She doesn't have a shop. In fact, some of them actually come out between the times of 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. They are done. They are 5 graduates. How many of you know about that? And they don't have a husband. Some of them are even feeding. Those of them whose husband are alive, some of them are feeding their husband. Pastor, what is the mystery about these women? What really happened to them? How come that... Listen. If you cannot see help, one of the things the blessings does for you, how it gives you more money, it helps you to be able to see possibilities that have only pure water. In fact, the pure water does not belong to me. It's somebody else who is actually producing the pure water. I'm actually a seller to the third power. But that you can see that pure water and see the possibility of you paying house rent, paying school fee, providing breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and being able to look after yourself. Listen to this. If you cannot see possibilities by faith, then even if we give you an oil company, you will run it down and you will shut it down. Is anybody hearing me? I say to people, there are lots of women who you think cannot do business until their husband die. That same business that their husband was always giving them money every month, if the man dies today, you'll be shocked how they will turn it around and open branches. Why didn't it work when the husband was alive? They had options. Now there's no option. Guess what? They have sat down. Every kobo is calculated now. No wastage is incurred any longer. With red eyes, you will see the lioness in them rise up. They run that business until you'll be shocked. With that business, one day they will tell you, I want to buy a brand new car. I don't know who you are, but I pray whatever God has put in your hand, endless possibilities in the name of Jesus. May you see endless possibilities in the name of Jesus. Shout a loud amen, somebody. The biggest problem most graduates have is that they have a certificate from ESUT that has certified them to be poor for the rest of their lives. So because of that, they can't see, the only thing they're waiting for is, who will employ me? Who will employ me? Who will employ me? 5 years after graduation, Pastor, nobody has employed me. You know, in this Nigeria, if you don't know anybody, nobody will help you. The reason why a lot of young men still can't talk like that is because they are living with an elder brother who is giving them free breakfast, free lunch, and free dinner. Take away that elder brother, you'll be amazed how creative they are. You'll be amazed how much industrious they are. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? Number two, it inspires ideas and concepts that generate wealth in you. Somebody say ideas, say concepts. How does this blessing work? It inspires. When the blessing is upon you, ideas, concepts, and those ideas and concepts will keep creating wealth in you. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. The man called Archimedes that discovered the law of flotation did not get it from work. He got it from a divinely inspired idea. He was inside the swimming pool swimming. Suddenly shouted what? Eureka. Who remembers? Eureka. That Eureka was the Holy Spirit's inspiration. It's a function of the blessing. It's called divinely inspired ideas and concepts. Please talk to me, somebody. In the first service, I was speaking about a gentleman by the name of George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver was a believer that was so broke. One day, he said, God, but I am blessed. Why is my life like this? He took what the Americans call peanut, we call it granite, and he went to his prayer closet and said, Lord, you created this thing. It looks small and meaningless, but can you bless me with this granite? Gentlemen, God gave George Washington Carver 300 products out of granite, including shoe polish. Out of granite. I don't know who you are and I don't know what it is in your hands, but out of that little thing, may God impregnate you with ideas. I said, may God impregnate you with ideas. Shout amen, somebody. Number three, it opens you up to understand the laws of science of life. It opens you up to understand the laws and the science of life. Everybody say science. Shout it, say science. For the last time, say science. Time will fail me. But let me just quickly mention them. Gentlemen, a gentleman by the name of Niels Bohr. It's on the screen, I'm sure. Niels Bohr. That guy was the one that discovered the atomic model. How did he discover it? He was a Nobel Prize winner. One day, listen to this, he was in a dream. And while he was inside that dream, God showed him. He has been praying, God, I want to discover this atomic model. How does it work? God opened his eyes and he saw it in the dream. Another gentleman by the name of Elias Ohe. Elias Ohe. Ladies and gentlemen, he was in a bad dream one day. And in that dream, somebody was using a spear. Pew, pew, pew. And by the time the guy woke up, he looked at the sequencing of the spear going in, coming out, going in, coming out. And he said to himself, what if that spear has a thread inside it, going in, coming out, going in, coming out? Wouldn't that be a simpler way for us to sew clothes? That's how I invented the sewing machine. His name is called Elias Ohe. Are you still there, somebody? Another German chemist by the name of August Kekule. Nobody knew the molecular structure of that chemical called benzene. Everybody has been struggling with it. And in 1865, ladies and gentlemen, that gentleman called Kekule was in a dream. And he saw snakes twisted together and their heads were crossing each other. Twisted together, heads touching each other. And he was watching it and watching it. He woke up and something said to him, "This is how the benzene ring is working." Guess what? He came up with it. Scientists took the theory. And by the time they went through the laboratory and so on, ladies and gentlemen, that was how they were able to come up with what is called today the structure of the benzene. Ladies and gentlemen, ask most songwriters, a lot of Christian songwriters, they will tell you a lot of the song that they got. They downloaded it in a dream. So, preachers, singers, am I correct? A lot of them saw something. Some of them wake up and quickly have to record it in their phone because that's how God inspires idea. One of the greatest songs of all time by the Beatles is called Let It Be. Anybody knows that song? Who knows Let It Be? If you don't know Let It Be, then you don't know any song at all. You know, most of these millennials don't have any idea how it is. Give my phone. How did Paul McCartney get that song? Paul McCartney was on a flight. And inside that flight, he slept off. And he had a dream. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? In the dream that Paul McCartney had, somebody was singing this song. He woke up. And he quickly, this was the days where there was no mobile phone and all that. This, we're talking about how many years ago. Quickly, he sang the song. Sang it over and over and recorded it. Ladies and gentlemen, every time you're talking about the Beatles, which is one of the greatest groups that ever lived in eternity, guess what? That song is one of the greatest songs that ever was. How did he get it? Ladies and gentlemen, it was a dream. And guess what? Now, listen to this. I'm trying to say that, see, there are endless possibilities in the blessing. Can I prophesy to somebody? As you close your eye to sleep, may you see business. May you see ideas. May you get revelation. May the power of divine creativity come upon you. Shout amen, somebody. Stephen King is another man. Guess what? He had a dream. And it was more like a horror dream. And in that dream, a book was downloaded to him. He woke up, he wrote that book. Out of that book came the movie that is called Misery. Misery is one of the most popular movies that I've ever been. It came from a revelation. What am I trying to say? God can impregnate you. He can inspire you. And I prophesy for the last time again, power of creativity. Power of creativity. I said the power of creativity. Put your two hands in front of you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Between now and next Sunday, I pray for somebody right there in your toilet, sitting down in that bowl. May God give you an idea that will change your life. Lying down on your bed, may God give you a dream that will change your life. Let God download new songs for you. Download new ideas for you. Download new wisdom for you. Give you new business ideas. Creative and innovative ideas. Shout amen, somebody. It's so close to you. And you have the edge. Because not only do you have the covenant, You also have purpose. And guess what? You have the greatest of all of them. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are aware, and I didn't say this in the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve and says, let them have dominion, blah, 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 blah. The next thing God did, so that what he had said will happen. Verse 28 of Genesis 1, and the Lord blessed them. That blessing was the tool they needed to excel. Without the blessing, Adam, I was not going to go very far. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You are a child of God. The blessing is upon you. I prophesy over you, you will have dominion. You will be fruitful. You will multiply. You will have dominion. You will replenish the earth. God will impregnate you with the power of creativity. Out of your hands will come inventions, will come new products, will come new products, will come new services. Breakthrough ideas will come from you in the name of Jesus. Shout amen, somebody. Number four, it makes you a supernatural solution provider. And that was exactly what happened to Joseph. It makes you a supernatural solution provider. Like Joseph, you become an interpreter of dream. There was a scripture Pastor Ellen read yesterday that blew my mind. I wish I could read it. I don't have the time. But can I say over you, you'll be a solution provider. I said you'll be a solution provider. Shout a loud amen, somebody. So Pastor, how do I walk in the blessings? Number one, pursue after God and trust his lifting power in your life. Pursue after God. Please don't ever make the mistake of pursuing after money. It's a pursuit that will leave you battered, injured, and disappointed. People who really pursue money never make money. But those who pursue value and solution, they are the ones that make money. Is anybody hearing me? I repeat, once you make money your pursuit, it will be the end justify the means. Once you make money your pursuit, you will break laws. You will sabotage destinies. You will injure a lot of people. You will frustrate a lot of destinies only because the crab mentality comes upon you and you begin to see everybody around you as holding you back from making it as you want to make it. But once you make kingdom and God and blessing and contribution your pursuits, money will beg you. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says, every other thing will be added unto you. Please, don't pursue money at the expense of your soul. That's why the Bible says in 3 John, our verse where we read, it says, I wish above all things you prosper, but even as your soul. Don't kill your soul. Don't destroy your spiritual life. You don't have to sleep with people. You don't have to cut corners. You don't have to be a Yahoo boy. The reason why many Christians cannot testify in church is because they can't tell us the details of how the car was bought. We know you bought a new car. We know you built a new house. But if we were to tell the details, it's Satan that will... How many of you know not everybody that won election can testify? Or do Thanksgiving? Because they know that they robbed and raped an entire nation. That's why one man won presidency. Even his wife could not clap. Are you still there, somebody? No, but it's the truth. A man won presidency, an entire nation went into mourning. Everybody was crying. The point is this. Don't do anything that will haunt you in the future. The blessings of God make it rich. He gives you peace and it does not add sorrow to it. That will be your blessing in the name of Jesus. Shout aloud, amen. Amen. Number two, and I think it's my last point. Create marketable goods and services. Create marketable goods and services. Create marketable goods and services. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been unemployed. I don't have a job for 5 years. Listen to this. It's because you have not taken time to take advantage of the blessing upon your life. Stay in the presence of God. I give you only 7 days. Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me idea. And no matter how foolish that suggestion is, write it down. Write it down. I give you 7 days. You would have written 150 ideas. Out of the 150, 5 will make sense. By the time you carry that 5, 2 will make more sense. If you try it, there will be a business without money. There will be a business with 20,000 naira. There will be another business with 100,000 naira. But the point is this. You have what it takes. And that is the reason why I prophesy over you, the blessing will work for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor, they have sacked me from my job. They didn't sack you from your destiny. It's only job they sack you from. And your source remains God and the blessing. So if one channel closes, many other channels are there. Don't sit back there saying, they sack me, they sack me, they sack me. Listen to this. A lot of the people who are sitting at home folding their legs and doing nothing today, if they travel abroad, they will walk. Are you still there, somebody? See. I hope you know a lot of the jobs we despise here, they are dignified jobs abroad. including washing plate and washing of corpses and driving of taxi. To be a taxi driver abroad is a big man business. I hope you know. The qualification level to drive taxi is not here. Are we in church, somebody? Can you talk to me this morning? To be a barber abroad is 1 year school. Oh. Barber. Plumber is like 2 years school. Electrician is 1.5 years school. Why are you looking at me? What am I trying to say? A lot of our husbands that are sitting at home doing nothing, or a lot of young men who are sitting at home saying, I'm waiting for a job. In this Nigeria, if you don't know anybody, listen to this. It's because somebody is giving you free food. And the person who is sponsoring that free food is not helping your destiny. Because if there's no food to eat, if you have to pay for everything you are enjoying today, the light, the water, the food, creativity will come to your spirit. An idea will enter your head. Your brother who is sponsoring your irresponsibility because his senior brother is the one who is not helping your destiny. And some of you even have the audacity to be fighting his wife at home, struggling with her, whether there's food or there's no food, on top of your stupidity and joblessness and laziness. See, the Bible says if a man does not work, he should not what? There are many of us right here who are not helping our younger brothers. There's too much food available for them. That's why they will never go and do for work. But I prophesy over you, from this day you begin to walk in the name of Jesus. You will look for something useful in the name of Jesus. Gentlemen, there is business out there. Go and get it. Say amen, somebody. Nothing irritates me, and I'm going to be honest with you, like a man. Ubon King says something. If I say what I want to say, let me say what Ubon King said. Ubon King of blessed memory says something. He said the day the white man created the mobile phone, the smartphone, he said he apologized to the black man for taking him to slavery. I repeat, he said the day that the Oyibo man invented the smartphone, that day he tendered an apology to Africa. I am sorry for making you a slave. He said, you know why? He said, with the smartphone, your possibilities of making money are endless. Who's still with me in this house? In fact, with your smartphone, your excuses that you don't have a job is eliminated. That's what we're talking about this afternoon. We are talking about tech skills. Leveraging on tech skills. Listen, sir. Please look up here, sir. We live in a generation where a lot of the doors and gates that people could not use to access greatness back in the day, all of them have been collapsed. We live in a day where you don't need to know the MD to find your way to his bedroom through a WhatsApp message. How do I break this one down now? Sir, we live in a day where you can have a university on your laptop without a physical building. I have a friend of mine in Lagos. This is a true story. His name is Victor. One day I walk into his office in Ikeja. He said, Pastor, I've opened a university. I said, how? He opened his laptop. I had a big laugh at him. I said, university in your laptop? He said, Pastor, they're there now. We talked and laughed, and I walked away. Sir, 1 year later, I returned back to his office. They said he has relocated to Dubai. I said, to do what? Then I called him on the phone. He said, Pastor, is that thing I showed you in my laptop the other time? He said, from the laptop, one thing led to the other. My students started getting many. The ones in UAE said I should relocate, that they will take care of everything. That guy I'm talking to you today, sir, is not a multi-billionaire in Naira. I have been to Dubai myself to attend his courses, at least twice. The guy, his laptop is still the university, with one small tiny office somewhere in Dubai. He has relocated his entire family. His drivers are Indians in Dubai. I've had the opportunity of being driven by them. His wife has a car. He has his car. Both of them have that. They don't drive themselves. He's stupidly wealthy. Pastor, what are you trying to say? The day they manufactured the smartphone, they eliminated every excuse of I don't have a job. Because with that little gadget, I hope you know the technology that gave us the smartphone is greater than the technology that created the aircraft. Ask the Google it, it's on the internet. The technology that created the smartphone is more complex than the one that created the aircraft. That gadget in your hand has endless possibilities. Oyibo man officially apologized to Africa for slavery when he gave us the gadget called the smartphone. That's why when we fix meetings like the ones we are doing this afternoon, please don't miss it. Because from the phone, let me close. I don't even have time. Let me close. There's one of my pastor's wife. She's on the pulpit right now. She had a juicy job. She used her own hand and resigned from the job. And I was, even me, I was worried. I said, how can you walk away from a good job like this? She said, Pastor, my family is suffering. My children are suffering. I can't continue like this. He said, but Pastor, don't worry, I will survive. I look at her, I say, how can, look at the money they are paying you. She said, Pastor, I will try. I will survive. Today, sir, she only has one phone. From that phone, she's a professional photographer. From that phone, she's teaching the whole Enugu on graphics, on the use of Canva. In fact, there's no day, right now I'm even angry with her because she doesn't have my time any longer. She used to have my time back in the day. She's so busy, she's booked from Monday to weekend. She's all over the place. Everybody's begging her, 1 hour I will pay, 2 hours I will pay. Sir, what does she have? One phone. The same one that you used to watch pornography and do TikTok from morning to night. And that's the only thing you know the phone to be. That's the greatest thing that will bring judgment to you for not having a job and for not creating one by yourself. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that all excuse for joblessness has been eliminated. That phone in your hand is going to be either your blessing or your judgment on the day of judgment. Why? Because inside that thing are endless possibilities. This training we're about to go through, you better register and join the queue if you don't understand what I'm talking about right now, because we are opening vistas of opportunities for you to understand that you can leverage on so much. And with that phone alone, you can, your the sky is not your limit, the sky is your beginning. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Having said all and done, it is the blessings of the Lord that really makes rich and added no sorrow with it. Lift up your right hand again. I prophesy over you. By that blessing, I speak over you endless possibilities. Endless possibilities. Endless possibilities. I cannot hear your amen. I said I can't hear your amen. Let me stop by saying this. My final point. Keep your kingdom obligations jealously. That's my last point. Pastor, how do I activate the blessing? The first kingdom obligation you have is not giving. Your first kingdom obligation you have is holiness. 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 Commit your life to God. Let me say this to you. A holy God and a dirty life don't go together. The blessing will work better. The software called the blessing will work better when at least you try your best to live in alignment with the will of God. There's a kind of life you will live. God is holding the blessing in his life and say, I cannot sponsor this. I can't fund this. This does not agree with my agenda. If I put 1 million in the hand of this one, I know which hotel is going to end. I know which student will be raped. I know what is going to happen. Sorry, sir. This is a true story. Yaradua's regime. I was called upon. I went for a meeting, and I'm calling name now with Rocha Sokorocha. We went to Villa. We had meeting with Yaradua. They said, give us the man who is going to head. That was when amnesty was about to start. Amnesty was about to start. They said, give us the man that's going to head the amnesty, and we prefer if he's a retired general. Please listen to this story. I did not waste time. I have an uncle. The auntie is my related to me. The man is not my relation, but I know him. I pick my phone, I call my auntie. I say, auntie, where's uncle? He said, he's right here in Bayelsa. I say, now let him start coming. I said, they're looking forward to head amnesty. And I'm suggesting him. I'm recommending him. I'm nominating him. Ladies and gentlemen, My auntie picked the phone. He said, what? I said, uncle, your husband, I'm nominating him to head Amnesty. At that time, the money voted at that time was 50 billion at that time, at the beginning. You know what my auntie said? The last time he got a political office, we lost our marriage. I never saw my husband again. Our family suffered. You want to give him another appointment? God forbid. Now, I'm talking about husband and wife. I'm not talking about relation. She said the last time he had political appointments, we have not recovered from it. We suffered. I said, Pastor, you want me to bring him again so that we can lose him completely? She said, he said, as long as I'm alive, he will not get another political appointment. That was the end of the news in Calabari. Is anybody hearing me? This is man, oh. This is man, sir. Your first kingdom obligation is not even money. It's the alignment of your life with God's will. There are things God will not sponsor. One of them is your rascality and your irresponsibility. The second kingdom responsibility, of course, you know, your tithes, your giving, your sacrifices, your helping the poor, your reaching out and raising people and helping them. I had a mind-blowing testimony, and I closed on this note last Sunday. One of the daughters in the house, she's not in church this morning. She followed me back and said, Pastor, I employed a house help. 1 month after employing her, she was diagnosed with a situation, rushed to the hospital. They said she needed surgery. First of all, she said, I've already called the father. I said, house help. It never reached 1 month. I cannot start spending money. Oga, come and take your daughter. He said, that night, God, she did not sleep. The Holy Ghost said, no. That man may have been somebody's daughter 1 month ago, but now she's your daughter. You better take care of her. She said she didn't sleep that night. She called the man back the next day and said, sorry, sir. I'm not sending her back again. Should we go ahead with the surgery? The surgery was to cost over 7 million for a house help that is not up to 1 month in the house. She said, God said she's your responsibility from now on. Take care of it. By the time she had spent close to 10 million, did a successful surgery. Even the doctor called her and said, did you say this guy is not your biological daughter? She said, no, it's my house help. He said, you are the only one I know in this world that will do this for a house help. Please, sir. Somebody's life may just depend on your benevolence, your generosity, and your kindness. This is what is called kingdom obligation. When somebody can say, I'm alive because of you. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. Can you lift up your right hand? Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, anything that has the similitude of a curse over my life is broken. Anything that has the capacity of a limitation, of an embargo, of a hindrance to my prosperity is broken. And now stretch those two hands in front of you. Say, oh God, in the name of Jesus, power for creativity. Power for creativity. Ideas inspired by God to make money, to make wealth. I receive them in the name of Jesus. And with my hands stretched out, oh God, I commit my life. Rededicate my heart and rededicate my life to you. I will live my life in alignment with your will, with your counsel, and with your purposes for my life. I commit myself to my offering, to my tithe, to my kingdom obligation, and to be a blessing to humanity. This is my commitment in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works.